This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And today it was supposed to be raining here in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, and here's some new terminology you all might not know. Up here they call it when it's going to rain and rain and rain and pour and be wet for so much rain you can't possibly deal with it. They call it an atmospheric river. Yeah. So they were saying that was coming and I thought, oh no, okay. I'll book all the indoor appointments, all the things I want to do inside. And now I wake up in the morning and the sun is shining and it's a glorious day. And I want to put a spell on the weather people here so that they learn a knowledge spell or something in honor of Halloween coming. I want to make them understand their job as well as I understand mine, because I am darn tired of planning. I have a farm. I have a harvest to collect. I need to know when it's not going to rain. And for all of you beach lovers, which I'm also a beach lover, I need to know where the sun's going to be and when it's going to be there and not be told the wrong thing on the wrong day and booked. Now I got to spend quite a lot of time canceling all my indoor appointments so I can get my basil and my oregano. I've got large crops that I'm going to bring in and I'm going to blanch and then I'm going to make oils. I got a lot to do. Sunny day, make hay when the sun shines. There's a reason for that saying, make hay when the sun shines. Exactly. So kind of bummed out at the weather reporting in my neck of the woods and also online and also on my phone, because I do check. I check everywhere. Atmospheric river. No, the sun is shining. It's beautiful out. Okay, well, I won't complain anymore. But I do want to talk about pecking order today, because we had a question emailed that was asking me, what is it? They probably heard a previous show where I was talking about dog pecking order, which I often do. And occasionally I talk about cat pecking order, sometimes horse, because there is such a thing. And sometimes I compare them. And that's exactly what this lady wants. She said, can you compare cat pecking order to dog pecking order? And so, you know what? Kitty cat lover, because that's what she calls herself. I am going to do that after the break. Stay tuned, everybody, on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And you know, that greeting, that's a dog greeting. That is not a cat greeting. You all know dogs and cats are very different. Very different. Yet they communicate with each other quite fluently. And a cat raised with dogs or dogs raised with cats can definitely speak the body language of the other enough to get by, and often enough to make friends, make family, be part of a pack that is mixed cat and dog. So that's kind of curious, right? I mean, how is that? I once met a Schipperke, which is like a little 20-poundish dog with an odd shape, tiny face and a big bum, little black fluffy thing. Anyway, maybe 15 pounds if it wasn't so overfed, but it was overfed. Anyhow, this Schipperke female, Kaylee, when I first met her, she lived with, I believe it was 13 cats. Some of them were elderly, and by the time I stopped knowing Kaylee, I think there were still 7. Anyhow, Kaylee had a lot of cat mannerisms. She did not meow, but she would rub along things the way cats would and rub along you the way cats would. She would wind in and out of your legs like a cat to greet you. I mean, she was a puppy with a whole lot of cats, so she spoke cat. In fact, it was kind of her first language. Dog was her second. So what's the difference in the pecking order? Well, okay, it's never strictly linear. That's the first thing I want to tell you, right? We always think, oh, top dog, bottom dog. Well, usually that is true. The very, very bottom dog and the very, very top dog are normally static positions. Okay, so they don't move a lot. The one who's willing to be bottom, and it will be the most submissive of the smallest, weakest male or the smallest, weakest female. And on occasion, when it's a dog of their same gender, whether they're the weakest or not, they'll have to act like the weakest. So if you're the weakest boy and the biggest or one of the stronger males comes over and wants you to submit, you have to submit. You have to kowtow. You have to show your deference and respect. And he may just flip you over or rough you up to show how tough he is. That may happen, even if the weakest female is actually the weakest of the pack and the one who does this the most. It still may happen to you. And the same is true of the reverse. If the smallest, weakest pup that's being picked on all the time by everybody just for fun is a boy, on occasion, the weakest female will have to put up with it from other females. So that's the first thing. So there is a little bit of sharing of that weakest role. And they're sharing of the top role. So even though there will always be a top dog, and it's almost always the biggest male, but not always, there will be a second in command, and that will be the biggest female. Or if it happens to be the biggest female in charge, which sometimes happens, sometimes when a mate is killed and it becomes a mother-son pack or something like this, you end up with a female in charge sometimes. And if that happens, then she's first. And second in command is the biggest, toughest male. Okay, so those positions are pretty, they don't really change much. You know, if somebody gets injured or elderly, then there's a change and there's a new king and a new queen. But for years, they'll just stay the same. So they're kind of safe positions. Same with the bottom. The bottom, you know, you do a lot of display of I'm submissive to you, you're the boss, you're the big man, I think you're cool, I would never defy you. Oh, please, after you, you do a lot of that. Oh, please, I would never eat before you. You do a lot of that if you're the bottom dog. But you don't get beat up a lot, right? It's the middle that's really contentious. And because you're in the wild, let's assume we're talking about wild dogs, wild cats, because you're in the wild, or a pack of, let's say, a colony of trapped and neuter release cats, so domesticated cats that have been turned into feral cats and live in a group. Let's compare those to, let's say, a coyote or dog pack or wolf pack. So everybody's worried about injury. Nobody has vet insurance, right? None of these wild animals count on any kind of care. So they don't want a scratch, a nick, anything, because anything at all, even the smallest wound, could get infected and stop them from being able to keep their place or from being able to hunt or survive, right? So nobody wants to get injured. So a lot of this is display. Not too much of it is actual battling. But okay, so having said that, the question, which I'm almost at, although it's almost time for another break, so I could tease this right along. The question, how is the cat pack different from the dog pack pecking order? I would have to say, and I'm going to include horses here. Why not? Let's put the horses into the mix. How is the horse herd pecking order different from the dog pack pecking order or the TNR colony cat pecking order? Well, the most linear of them all is the dog, where if you ranked position on any given day, you could pretty much tell who's number one and who's the bottom and most of the positions in between. You might, if it's a pack of 15, you might say 5, 6, 7, and 8 are interchangeable here and there and they're always fighting. But you probably, that's the case. Posturing, my head's taller than yours. No, my head. No, I'm stronger. Running at each other almost like jousters and hitting full contact to see who's the tougher dog. All kinds of stuff like that is going on. Tests of strength, if you've ever watched Seinfeld and you saw George Costanza's Festivus routine. Anyway, tests of strength are going on to prove who's the boss, who's the next boss, who's the up-and-comer, right? So in the dog pack, most of the time, you can really tell. Now in the cat pack, you can't tell. It's very hard to tell. You can normally tell who's at the top and who's at the bottom, but everything depends on who. So one cat may defer to another but dominate the rest. It's so you got to put them in a web. It's not really a pecking order, one down to 10, and everybody has a number like it is with the dog pack. It's more like a web, and you go, okay, black and white is in charge of the gray tabby, but gray tabby dominates orange cat, but orange cat is scared of black and white, like all this sort of stuff. Like it's you can have one cat afraid of another, but picking on one that the one he's afraid of is bossing. And so much of it has to do with memory and interaction and experience. So if a kitten grows up fearing a bigger cat that gave it a lesson, it may show deference to that cat for life. It may be affectionate and loving, but it'll show submission because it thinks of it as a very ferocious, big, dangerous animal. Because when it was a tiny kitten, it got swatted and it went rolling halfway across the floor while you were at work and didn't see. It got the message. And the message has stuck. So some of this weird stuff with cats stays. With dogs, it doesn't really stay that way, the same way. They're always figuring it out as they grow. So cats have a long memory for this stuff. And you may find that the cat pecking order is very difficult to decipher. Now, most people only have two or three cats, four cats at the most. So you'll be able to figure out who's on the bottom and who's on the top. And one way to tell is how they walk through a room. A cat that's very confident and in charge of everything will walk right through the middle of a room, doesn't have a care in the world, not worried about anything. A cat who's on the fearful side because it knows the territory isn't really his or hers, and at any time he or she could be pestered or scared or chased or harassed or cuffed, in more likely, hit on the ear, nasty, doesn't feel good. Sort of like when someone flicks you with their fingers. That's how a cat feels about ear cuffing. Anyway, so the cat who's being bullied will not walk through the center of the room. The cat who's being bullied will skirt along the outsides or even along an upper, from file cabinet to freezer to shelf, like, it'll skirt around the outsides on an upper level, even, or under things, under the bed, under the sofa. That's a harassed cat. So that's one way you can tell. You can also tell if you go feed them something yummy, like a homemade treat you made, or something they really, really love, who comes out and who doesn't, right? The one who comes out is the dominant one. The ones who are scared to and kind of meow at you and shyly try and hint that they would like some too, those are the bottom. And that's the easiest way to tell with cats. Now, I've kind of touched on horses. So we're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and we're talking about horses, which I almost never do. But the pecking order in a horse herd is quite different than dogs or cats. Now, once again, there will be one dominant, usually male. If there is an intact male and the rest are all gelded and okay, it'll be him. But biggest, toughest, strongest male. And horses do kick each other and they do bite each other and they do establish pecking order in that way. And they also establish strengths, feats of strength, especially in adolescent times and in the middle rows of the herd, you know, not the top, not the bottom. They do these tests of strength, which include racing, which I love to watch, when three or four rivals get together and just run and see who's the fastest. It's a lot like little boys at the playground saying, okay, I'll race you over there. Who's the fastest? It's so much like that. Anyway, so yeah. So there's a lot going on with horses. And when you bring a new horse somewhere, automatically the lead horse is upset and you have to segregate them. And just like with cats, it takes time and effort to introduce new animals, but especially with horses. But with horses, the pecking order isn't like a web like with cats, and it isn't like a line like with dogs. It's just personal. This one is on top of that, ahead of that one. That one defers to this one. This one chooses to defer to that one. You got to keep a list. It's more like a social club. It's very, very difficult to interpret. And if any of them are relations, you know, that one's the mother of that one, or that one mated with that one 5 years ago, and any kind of connection like that throws the whole thing out of whack anyway. So you can observe all you want, but good luck trying to figure out exactly everybody's place in that situation. I guess it's more like humans, where you really can't tell. I mean, there's kind of like, you know, the leader of the country, and then I guess at the bottom end is someone who doesn't have a place to live, and then everybody in the middle jostling for everything. Kind of like that, unfortunately. Okay, so apparently in Pennsylvania, because I have to give you some pet news, and this one really surprised me, not because of the content of the news, but because of the location. Okay, so in Pennsylvania, bear in mind I did not say in Florida or Cuba, I said in Pennsylvania, a woman is no longer allowed to bring her alligator into Walmart as her support animal. No longer. Oh, what a shame. Can you imagine shopping? You're looking for, I don't know, milk or a t-shirt, and you see an alligator in someone's shopping cart? Come on now. Come on, please. Now, in Florida news, I gotta say, a woman pounded and punched an alligator over and over and over again. It was caught on film, to save her dog, and she did save her dog. So well done there. Yeah, that would be a really hard one. I got to say, my dogs do not understand. Most of the dogs up here in the Pacific Northwest do not understand that a pond could be dangerous. No, they go in there with joy and abandon, and they wanna chase birds and hang out and swim. I mean, the worst thing they could imagine is a goose, you know? That's the worst. They have no idea. So if you're taking your dogs on road trips, you got to beware that if where you're going has alligators, they're going to be in the ponds. And this is not where you want to be playing fetch with your little dog. I know it seems obvious to Florida residents, but it is not obvious to the rest of us where ponds and any type of water is safe for your water dog. I was thinking about that actually at the beach, because I was watching this seal about 4 days ago. Yeah, on the weekend. I was watching this seal play in the surf, and it kept surfacing and going down again. And it was 100 feet away from the shore. And then someone started throwing a toy for a dog who was fetching, but it was only fetching maybe 8 feet off the shore over and over again. Really, really short fetching, delightful little dog. But I swear to you, that seal was so curious. Instead of being 100 feet out like he'd been all day, all of a sudden, the seal was like 15 feet, 20 feet, showing up exactly where the dog had just been. And it seemed like the dog might have been aware of the seal under the water, because the dog was diving and playing as well. Which was unusual. Up until then, earlier in the day, I'd seen the dog fetching, but with the head above water. And now I was watching the dog dip its head under all the time, even though the toy floated. So I thought, that's interesting. Seals and dogs, seals and dogs. So I looked it up, and it turns out seals and dogs and bears are more closely related than I had thought. And seal behavior is very similar to dog pack behavior. So I found that really fascinating. I'm doing a deep dive into that, and I will be coming back to you at Animal Party Pet Life Radio with more information on that in the future, because I really want to know what that's all about. Now, in the meantime, there was an accident where a person walking their dog got hit by a train. The dog was okay, but the person was not. And so I just want to highlight this. So many dog walkers love to walk on train tracks, which I get. And they go through beautiful places, and it's just lovely. Flowers grow on the sides, and if the train's not in use, it's fine. But you got to keep listening. Do not plug in so you can't hear. And make sure your dog's on a short leash, not a long leash that could get tangled. And be really, really aware. So for an average coal train, which is a big, long, heavy train going not very fast, maybe 50 miles an hour, maybe less, it takes a mile to stop. So it is not going to stop for you or your dog. It just can't. So be sure to stay alert if you're using the train tracks for walking, especially if you've got kids and dogs along. Okay, everybody, from me and Animal Party Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals. Ciao now.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.